Turn with me, if you would, now to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. For our message this morning, I'd like to backtrack just a little bit and go back into Matthew chapter 4. One line caught my attention, and it just blessed my heart so much, and I want us to dwell on it for a minute together. It's the last four words of verse 24. And he healed them. Sovereignly, powerfully, completely, kindly, tenderly, lovingly, graciously, mercifully, he healed them. Now that's a declaration right there. That is a declaration. That is an announcement. If we have an announcement to make, that's an announcement. That is a statement. That tells us who did what. And who gets the credit for it? And who gets the glory for it? And that's the true declaration of Christ. That is the gospel of the Word. It very plainly tells us who He is and what He did and who He did it to and what result it brought. And who gets the credit for it? And who gets the glory for it? That is the declaration of Christ. That is the declaration of the gospel. And I believe one of the things that I truly love most about the declaration of the gospel is not only is it sovereign. Oh, I love the sovereignty of the declaration of the gospel. But not only is it sovereign and powerful and complete, I despise the false message of an incomplete and weak salvation from an unsovereign God that's being preached. I hate it. I love our sovereign, powerful, complete message of salvation. But not only is it that, I love the kindness of the declaration. I'm so drawn to it. I love the tenderness of the declaration. I love the tenderness of this man. I love the love. I just do. I love the mercy. I love the grace. You can hear the kindness and the tenderness. You can hear it. You know it's there. You can hear the love and you can hear the grace and you can hear the mercy in those four words. Just listen to them. And he healed them. You can hear it. You can hear it. In just hearing that, we can enter into the compassion that made him want to. Do you know the reason why he would heal anybody? Do you know, honestly, the reason why our Lord would heal anybody? Why would he do that? Do you know why? He wanted to. That's the reason. Everything that our Lord does, He does it because He wants to. Everything. Even in the eternal healing that He provided from our sin. In bearing that sin in His own body on the tree, He bore that sin because He wanted to. Just before He went to the cross, He told His disciples, and I love this. Just before He went, He told His disciples, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you." Knowing what it represented. God's Lamb being slain for sin. He said, "With desire, I have desired to partake of this with you." He said, "For this cause came I into the world." This is the only reason I came. And in that moment when the time came, God the Father laid all of that iniquity from the people of God on Christ. All of it. What that means in our layman's terms is everything you've done, everything that your conscience says, "Yeah, I did that." God the Father took that and laid it on Christ. You know that just, God the Father took that and laid it on Christ. And Christ stood there, in Gethsemane, He said, "I'm so sorrowful right now. I could die. I could just die. It hurts. It just hurts." God the Father took all of that iniquity from all of His people, and He laid it on Christ, and He dealt with Christ, and He judged Christ accordingly in that iniquity. And do you know why God the Father did that? He wanted to. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him in the stead of His people. It pleased the Father to make Christ to be sin, even though Christ knew no sin. It pleased the Father to make Christ to be the sin of His people so that His people could be made the righteousness of Christ, the perfection of Christ. The whole thing was done sovereignly, powerfully, and completely. But it was done kindly and tenderly and lovingly, mercifully, graciously. And that's His glory in the whole thing. The beauty of it, the perfection of it. How God could be just against sin and still justify His sinful people. In a way, and He did it in a way that holiness said, "I'm satisfied." And the law said, "I'm satisfied." And justice said, "I'm satisfied." And God said, "I'm satisfied." Christ walked out of His tomb because He had to walk out of His tomb. Everything was satisfied. Even death was satisfied. Think about that. Death said, "I'm satisfied." He had to walk out. In the same way that a sign was put on top of His cross while He was hanging there that said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, the King of the sinners." In that same way, a sign could have been put at the top of the opening of His tomb that said, "And He healed them." What a line. What a statement. I want to just take a few minutes here to enjoy our great physician. Our great physician in who he is and what he's done and who he's done it for. Matthew 4 verse 23 says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness among and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan." Now, I don't want this to just be an outline, and I don't want this to just be a speech. I want to tell us something. I want to sincerely tell us something. Never will you find in the Scripture one sick person who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and didn't receive a healing. Never. Never. Turn with me over to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 15, it says, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." Who did he leave out? None of them. Look at Matthew 14. Verse 14. "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." Why did he do that? He was moved with compassion toward them. He wanted to. He did it. He saw them. And that's what he wanted to do. And that's what he did. Look at Matthew 15, verse 30. "And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." Look at Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 1. "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there." Look at Matthew 21, verse 14. "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." One more. Go over to Luke chapter 4. Luke 4, verse 40 says, "Now when the sun was setting, and all they that had any sick with divers diseases, brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Every one of them. Every one of them. Now, there's something that I want us to understand about this. There is one common denominator in every person that he healed. Every one of them was sick. Every one of them. Our Lord did not heal every soul in every place. He healed every soul that was sick. When he came into town, can you imagine, can you envision what life would have been like when the Lord walked the earth? Great multitudes followed him. We just read it over and over and over. Our text said his fame went out. People knew about him. They knew his name. And when he came into town, everywhere he went, this is the question that went out. The buzz went through town. Is anybody sick? One man would call his neighbor, "Don't you have a son that's sick? Is anybody sick? Because the great physician is coming. He's coming. He's coming here." You know, that is still the cry to this very day. Is anybody sick? Is anybody sick? Are you sick? Are you sick? Walk up to people. Are you sick? No. Okay. Are you sick? There is only one criteria for being healed by the great physician. All you have to be is sick. That's it. That is it. Are you sick? Are we sick? Are we sick? Every soul who is not sick is going to get passed by. Every one of them. But every soul who is sick, the great physician is coming. And he's never lost a patient. And there's never been a disease he could not heal. And there's never been a patient turned away. Never. It didn't matter how small the sickness was. It didn't matter how great the sickness was. He healed them all. He healed them all. And we can go to him for the smallest need that we have. But the good news is we can go to him for the greatest need that we have. And there is no greater need that we have than to be healed from the sickness of our sin. The utter sickness of our sin. And here's what I want to tell you. If you have it, you know, you could walk up to people and say, "Do you have cancer?" No. Do you have cancer? Yes. Well, concerning sin, if you have it, meaning if it has been revealed to you that you have it, we all have it. But if God has revealed to us that we have it, if we know that we have it, and if we desperately need to be healed of it, then Christ is coming for you. Christ is coming for you. If you have it, this sickness of sin, if you have it and you know you have it and you desperately need to be healed of it, Christ is coming for you. That's the message that I've been sent with. That's what I have literally been told to say. You are the candidate he's looking for. A physician is looking for one type of person. A sick person. Somebody who's sick. And the question is that you? And is that anybody here? Anybody here? Look right here in Luke chapter 5, verse 18 says, Luke 5:18, it says, "And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" That's right. "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God." I would love to have witnessed that man glorifying God while he walked out with his bed under his arm. Verse 26, "They were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" Why is he so drawn to sinners? "And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." That's who I came for. That's who I came for. Is anybody sick with sin? Does anybody cry, "I'm a wretched sinner before God. I am completely infected with sin and I need a great physician"? If so, do this. All right? If so, do this. There's something to do. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, verse 46, it says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." And if you are sick with sin, put yourself in this man's shoes. Verse 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth," the other accounts say that he was sitting there and heard a great commotion. And he asked the people around him, "What's going on?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth is walking by." Verse 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed the Lord Jesus in the way. If you are a sinner who is sick with sin, cry out to him from the depths of your soul, in your heart. In your heart, he's the one you need to cry out to. You don't need to cry out to me. You don't need to cry out to us. We don't need to cry out loud. Cry out to him in your own heart and say, Lord Jesus, thou great physician, I need to be healed. I need to be healed. I need mercy in the blood of your salvation. Cry out for mercy. And don't stop crying out for mercy until he calls you. And when he calls you, if you're crying, it means he's making you cry. If you're crying, it means he's making you cry. He has revealed the sickness of your sin to you. Sinners don't know this until God reveals this to them. It means he's revealed to you what you are. And in seeing what you are, he is causing you to cry out to him. So if you cry, he will call. I don't think I've ever said this so dogmatically. But I'm saying it now. If you cry for mercy from the depths of your soul, not one person has ever gone to the great physician and not received a healing. If you cry, it means he's doing it. And if you cry out for mercy, he will call you. He will call you. I mean, if it's not lip service, but you need salvation in the mercy and blood of the Lamb of God. If you cry, he will call you. He is calling you. That is him calling you. And he will call you. And when he calls, throw away your filthy garment of self-righteousness. First thing blind Bartimaeus did is he cast off his own garment. You absolutely get rid of all your own self-righteous works and you go to him just as you are. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. You go to him just as you are, and when he heals you, not if, but when he heals you, you follow him in the way. As you follow him, make sure you do this. Make sure. Turn to Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 11, it says, And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. When he heals you, make sure to glorify him and to give him thanks. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. This is the truth. This is the truth. Hospitals are for sick people. That's who hospitals are for. And the gospel's for sinners. That's who the gospel's for. Our great physician came for those who need to be healed from what they are. And if God has revealed to you what you are, go to Him. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. He is right now receiving the sick. He's in this town. And He is right now receiving the sick. Sick with sin in any condition. I mean, even in the worst condition. I remember hearing the story a long time ago, and I'm done. I promise I'm done. But I remember hearing this a long time ago, that there was a family doctor who was in his office one day seeing patients, and every patient that came would just came for something, just a bump or a bruise or just a little nothing. And he just got tired of putting Band-Aids on people, and he being fed up with it, he walked out into his waiting room and he said, "Is anybody in here actually sick? If anybody is actually sick, I'll see you right now." Well, our Lord one time, at the great day of the feast, He stood up and He cried to everybody who could hear, "Is anybody thirsty? If you are actually thirsty, you come to me and I'll give you something to drink right now." I mean right now, today. Today. You come to me, I'll supply everything you need. If you truly need salvation from your sin in your heart, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will save you. Man, I'm saying that to each one of us. Put your name where you goes. He will save you. He will save you. Every soul that He purposes to save sees their need, sees their condition, and sees their only remedy to be in Him. And they go to Him, all of them. They go to Him alone. And He saves them. Every one of them. Every time He calls them, they come, and He saves them. Every time. Not only is that good news for sinners, that's good news for me, the chief sinner. Like Paul said, that's the one thing God's people really do have contention over. "No, I'm the chief sinner. No, it's me." Go to Him. He'll save you from your sin. Let's all stand together.